But let's get some views on our railways. Let's speak first to Bruce Williamson, who's from the campaign group Rail Future. Bruce, are you surprised to hear that Crossrail's delayed?
I am slightly, actually. This has come a little bit out of the blue. And given that the delay is a year, you know, that's quite a considerable problem within the sort of project. And I think Crossrail must have known about this for some time. And I think they've just held off releasing this information until, I suppose, till they had to, really. Because, you know, we're very close to the point where the next stage was due to be opened.
It's also going to be £600 million over budget. Why is it, seems to me, Bruce, whenever the government get involved in building anything, it's always late and overruns in cost?
I think it's just the nature of the beast. This is, as you've probably heard, one of, like, the biggest civil engineering projects in the world at the moment. I think it's the biggest in Europe. And if you look at the total cost, the overrunning cost is probably relatively small. And I think with the best will in the world, if you're trying to build a massive project, there will inevitably be some things which are unexpected, which add costs to the project. So that element doesn't bother me too much, because I think it's, you know, it's not outrageous, really.
And what of the railways themselves? We've seen huge problems in Northern trains with the new timetable, lots of trains cancelled, Southern Rail has been an ongoing nightmare for commuters in the southeast. Is it time now, we just said, They've had their chance, they've messed it up, we've got to get the trains back into the public sector? That's the policy of Jeremy Corbyn's, renationalise railways. I don't know how on earth anybody would afford to pay for it, but it's probably a popular policy.
Certainly a popular policy, yeah. Definitely the vast majority of the population consistently have polled in favour of renationalisation. And I think even Chris Grayling, obviously the Conservatives won't consider renationalising, but the troubled East Coast franchise, which has failed three times now, and gone into sort of temporary state ownership. Chris Grayling is saying, look, this hasn't worked. We need to do this differently in future. But I think what that means is a different form of privatised railway, and I'm not sure anyone knows what that is yet. You know, it's doable. The costs, it wouldn't cost anything, really, because we just let the franchises lapse back into public ownership when they come to the end of their term. But I think we shouldn't fool ourselves that renationalisation is any sort of magic bullet. I think people don't appreciate the extent to which the existing franchisees are pretty much micromanaged by the Department for Transport. The Department for Transport is, you know, pulling pretty much all of the strings, and the train operating companies have to sort of dance to the tune of the DfT.
And of course, Network Rail, which is responsible for a lot of the problems, is state-owned.
Indeed, and again, you know, I think there's pretty much universal agreement that that Railtrack was a failure, and that Network Rail are doing a better job. That's not to say they're not without their faults. As you rightly say, these recent problems we've seen on Northern and Govia Thames Link and so on, Network Rail have to take their share of the blame for all that trouble. They're not perfect by any means, but they do seem to be doing a fairly good job.
Let's bring into the conversation, if you don't mind hanging on there, Bruce Williamson, Keith Prince, who's the Conservative spokesman on the London Assembly Transport Committee. Keith Prince, I think probably Jeremy Corbyn's onto a vote winner with the idea of nationalising the railways. I'm old enough to remember British Rail. It was a catastrophe. But people are fed up to the back teeth of trains being too expensive, not running on time, and they think the state, they couldn't be any worse run by the state than they are by the private sector.
I mean, you make some fair points there. I mean, I think Bruce is right when he said that the majority of people would be in favour of renationalising these railways, but really, practically, I can't see how that's done. Bruce said there'd be no cost because they just let the franchises run down. Well, some of the franchises don't end until 2030, and then you've got all the rolling stock. Don't forget that the rolling stocks are mainly owned by rolling stock companies, and you'd have to buy them off the rolling stock companies. So this is not going to be a cheap thing to do if we were to do it. But I disagree that the way it's run at the moment isn't quite right. But I think by tinkering with it a bit, by sharing the risk a bit with the rail operators, by taking out some of the high risk, because when you look at the the different franchises. Some of them are very, very profitable. Because when the bid, it's a high-risk bid. So,
Keith, we're going to have to come back to you because we're losing you, so we'll get you back on a different line. I'll go back to Bruce Williamson. Predictable response, Keith Prince. The Conservative spokesman against any form of renationalising the railways. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm not entirely surprised, really. I mean, you know, the Conservatives are wedded to privatisation for ideological reasons, and similarly, people on the left are wedded to renationalisation for sort of ideological reasons. I think what we need, you know, is an evidence-based approach on how to move forward. And, we have some evidence because we've had a privatised railway. Well, we have a privatised and we've had a nationalised railway. So you can take your pick, really, because we know what either is like. I just want to say something in defence of British Rail.
Yeah.
Because British Rail, you know, has a very bad rap. And, you know, we all remember some of the problems with British Rail. But those problems were caused by, largely, by starving the railways of investment. And British Rail actually did a very, very good job of running a railway on a shoestring budget, because it had to. It had no choice. There just wasn't the money to buy the new trains that would have and invest in the track and so on, that would have led to a more reliable service. And some things that British Rail did, they got absolutely right, like our beloved Intercity 125 trains, which are still going strong after 40 years.
What do you make of HS2? I think that it's the most ludicrous white elephant. We don't need it. It's going to get us to Birmingham, 20 minutes, 25 minutes quicker. It's currently, they say, it's going to cost over £100 billion, which is a year's money for the NHS. It will work out at £403 million a mile. And Bruce, you know, that's the estimates now. When it comes to building it, it'll be way over budget, and it will be not built on time.
I certainly have large reservations about the cost of this. It won't happen, of course, but the government needs to put a cap on this and say, well, look, you know, if it costs more than that, then we'll have to, I don't know, not scrap it, but go back to the drawing board. But, you know, the problem is we do need it. We do need the capacity. We're in a situation where our railway continues to grow, and passenger numbers have doubled in the last 20 years. And if we don't invest in that new infrastructure and look ahead, which is, you know, what has been done quite rightly with Crossrail, then we will find ourselves in years to come with, you know, just not enough capacity on our railway to run the trains that we want. And we know we've already got a shortage of capacity. We're all experiencing overcrowded trains and not enough trains being run. So, the principle of HS2 is correct. But, I mean, obviously, yes, I think there are problems with its implementation.
Let's bring Keith Prince back into the conversation. He's the Tory spokesman on the London Assembly Transport Committee. Keith, we were talking as well about HS2. I think the whole thing is going to be an utter disaster. Already, they're saying it's going to be the most expensive railway on the planet at £403 million a mile. They haven't managed to finish Crossrail on time or in budget. And you just know, don't you, Keith Prince, that same is going to happen to HS2. Why don't they just scrap it now?
Well, yeah, I'm not a big fan of HS2, to be perfectly honest. Sorry to ruin your debate, but I would rather see four-tracking of existing lines rather than, you know, cutting through swathes of England.
Clyde, just to say, what glorious is countryside, going to be dug up.
Saving 20-odd minutes. So it doesn't work for me, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it be better to have a train service that goes across the Pennines?
Well, yes, why not? That's not a bad idea, but I just think we need to increase the capacity on the lines we have, do some four-tracking, and that will enable us to run slow trains, fast trains and goods trains. And whilst you won't necessarily save 20 minutes, you get far greater reliability and much more volume.
Why are our trains so expensive, Keith Prince? They're the most expensive in Europe by a mile. On average, they're six times more expensive than our European counterparts, the fares.
What do you mean by expensive? Oh, the fares?
The fares, yeah.
Well, that's because we don't subsidise the fares as much as they do in other countries, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. If you use something, you have to pay for it, don't you? Why should somebody who never uses a train heavily subsidise somebody who does?
So you think that's fair? You think it's fair? It's fair the way they operate currently. You wouldn't want to see extra subsidies because don't forget the taxpayer is putting in about £4 billion a year to these train companies. Still.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, when we're saying, you know, we want to renationalise the trains, a lot of it is already nationalised anyway. So there isn't this great thing about everything being owned by the private sector and them making loads of profit, and then we stop all that. The vast majority of the trains, actually, if you look at the money that's spent, is national money anyway. It's paid for by the government. But the point here is that with privatisation, you get that edge. When you look back, I mean, people could sort of hanker back to the days of British Rail. It was a disaster, actually. It was losing money. It was inefficient. We've got 60% more passengers now than we had in 1995. We've got, you were saying earlier about trains not being on time. Well, actually, the reality is, I know we have major disasters here in London on certain tracks, but the reality is that 9 out of 10 trains actually do arrive on time nowadays. So it's not, but I do believe that we need to have a slightly different model to what we have at the moment. I do believe we should take some of the risk out, and if you take out some of the risk, then you can actually dictate a reduction in the profit that some of these companies make as well, because profit always has to be related to risk. So I'm not saying it's a perfect system. I think it's completely impractical to renationalise it. But then again, I don't see why commuters shouldn't pay a fair chunk of money for the service that they're getting.
All right, that's Keith Prince. Last word to you, Bruce Williamson. Are you going to encourage Corbyn to press ahead and renationalise those railways if he becomes Prime Minister?
No, that's not my job, really. You know, I mean, it's up to the electorate to decide what they want. But I suspect that, well, we know that the electorate want renationalisation. Whether they want Jeremy Corbyn is a different matter. I'm not gonna place bets on the outcome of the next election or even when it's going to be.
All right, that's Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future. Well, over to you. I think the trains are appalling in this country.